Ah, good testimonies tonight, folks. Praise the Lord for a Sunday evening service. It's starting to storm. Oh, thank you, Madea. I appreciate that. Nice cold water. Starting to storm out there. We got a nor'easter coming in tomorrow night, actually. They're talking about 8 inches. And then there may be some ice on top of that. That's the problem part.
By the time we go home, it might be icy. Because it's
37
now.
Yeah, exactly. Time we get out of here, temperature's going to drop. But let's grab our hymnals tonight, folks. For our final hymn, we'll stand and we'll go to 198. Had a real good service this morning.
You did?
Yeah, I preached on Jesus said if. Jesus said if. And we had a good service. Not, we're missing a few folks, you know, but the Lord was here. Tonight we'll begin final hymn on 198, which is actually a prayer. Many of the hymns are prayers, asking the Lord for this or that. And he's praying that he had 1,000 tongues to worship the Lord. We're going to sing all four, folks. All four of 198. Singing, folks, please be seated. Oh, I'm so glad that his blood availed for you and me. The only thing that could. Well, tuck your hymnals away for now. And grab your Bibles at this time, church. We'll get right to our Sunday night sermon. It would be found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah's 8th chapter tonight. And I want to bring a message that I've been meaning to preach for a while now because of the day and age in which we live. And I've entitled tonight's message, Counterfeit Religion Exposed. Counterfeit Religion Exposed. Paul said, whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Amen. And we need to let the light of Christ shine through us into the darkness of this world. Folks, I'm here to tell you tonight that we've got not millions, but billions of deceived people on planet Earth tonight. They're in all kinds of false religions, cults, the occult, the New Age movement, false teachings of man that cannot save. And tonight, I want to expose some of this and show you from the Bible what's going on in the world and why. Now, as Paul was pressed in the Spirit to preach Jesus Christ to the Jews over there in Acts chapter 18, so too, beloved, have I felt this compelling urgency to preach this message tonight. I want to preach on counterfeit religion exposed. In Isaiah chapter 8, we have a most incredible passage of Scripture. And by the Holy Ghost, the prophet Isaiah reveals to us this counterfeit religion that people are falling for, hook, line, and sinker. We read, beginning in verse 11, the prophet writes, "For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying," now he's going to go down here and go through what the Lord spoke to the prophet. Verse 13, "Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Bind up the testimony. Seal the law amongst my disciples." Drop down to verse 19. Why, Isaiah? "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? For the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them, and they shall pass through it hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness." Beloved, I want to speak to you tonight on counterfeit religion exposed. Father in heaven, how we thank you for this incredible passage in the 8th of Isaiah. Lord, how we thank you for the truths that are laid down here concerning the many people. Because we're living in a day and age today when the many of the people are deceived. They're practicing all kinds of false teachings of man. Secular humanism is on the rise. Satanism, anything but the truth of God's word in his son Jesus Christ. And Lord, I'm so thankful tonight that there is a way that leadeth unto life, and his name is Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful tonight that there is no religion that can save a human soul from sin. It takes a person named Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you that Christianity is the only, if you will, true religion on planet Earth. It's the only one that saves. It's the only one that leads to eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm so thankful tonight for the truth, Lord. I'm so thankful that as I look at this crowd tonight, that these people are not deceived. They are not in a false religion. They believe the word of God. That's why they're here tonight. And I ask you to bless them for it, O God, and strengthen us in our faith tonight that we may better be equipped to share the truth of the gospel with those who need it. Through Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Amen. Now, beloved, let me begin by saying this. The Unitarian Universalist Church claims to trace its origin to the Council of Nice. That's in AD 325. Where the great Arian heresy enunciated a Unitarian theme by denying the New Testament doctrine of the full deity of Jesus Christ. Unitarians, Universalists deny that Jesus is God. I'm reading from Dr. Walter Martin's Kingdom of the Cults here. I quote, "Boasting a membership of over 2 million in America alone, Unitarians teach that Jesus Christ is the fabrication of Christian fantasy and Jewish hope for worldwide dominion." Dr. Carl M. Chorosky, spokesman and spiritual leader of the Unitarian Universalist Church, was asked recently by a well-known theologian, "Do Unitarians, come right in, brother, do Unitarians believe the Bible is divinely inspired by God and infallible?" Dr. Chorosky, their leader, gave the following reply, and I quote, "No, absolutely not. The doctrine of divine revelation and the absolute indisputable authority of the Bible is alien to Unitarian teaching. We don't believe it. Listen, folks, Unitarians and Universalists, same thing. They're the same thing. They are in the habit of contacting the spirit world through ordained mediums during their services for the purpose of communicating with lost loved ones. This is called necromancing, folks, and it's against the scripture, which they don't believe. Beloved, I don't want to expose the UUC tonight. That's not my intent at all. Rather, I want to expose the heresy and the false teachings of false religion. I call it counterfeit religion. So let's examine our text tonight and see what God says about this counterfeit religion. I want to give you five things and I'll be done. The first is this. God says, first of all, that you and I must be living in sanctification and godliness if we're to have the right, quote-unquote, religion. Look with me at verse 13. Verse 13. I'm going to give you the truth tonight. What's the first word in verse 13? Sanctify. Thank you. See, biblical Christianity is a doctrine of sanctification, folks. It changes you from the inside out. Religion can't do that. Look at it. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Now, listen very carefully, because the Bible says here in verse 13 very clearly that in order for you and I to avoid the counterfeits, and they're everywhere, we must be living a sanctified godly life in that daily, being led by the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. You've got the Holy Spirit if you're born again. The Holy Spirit will never lead you into a false teaching, a counterfeit religion. He won't. It's contrary to his nature. Now, church, the number one defense against being deceived by spiritual counterfeits is a holy life in God. Amen. We don't hear much preaching on this anymore. Where we're supposed to do right, Billy Sunday said. Do right. Live right. And be sanctified by the Spirit of God that's in you. You have the ability to do that. Now notice the wording carefully here in verse 13. I want to give you three things concerning living in sanctification. The first one is this. He says first, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. See that in verse 13? Himself. Now, time out, church. The Holy Spirit is instructing us here in verse 13 to regard the Lord who is in you as the perfection of holiness. Do you see it? He's not saying make God more holy than he is. You can't. He's saying you need to regard him as he is holy. For who he is and what he is. Look at verse 13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. That is, acknowledge that he which is in you is holy and pure and righteous. Amen? He's saying, worship and honor him as your source of true defense and holy protection. See, you can't sanctify the Lord any more than he already is. Right? But as we count him as our sanctification. Let me make a statement, church. He is our sanctification. You are sanctified tonight because of him who lives in you. Not because you do good or bad. You're sanctified by God's Spirit. And he's saying, sanctify the Lord of hosts. Don't walk around and say, oh, I'm so sanctified. Oh, I'm so good. No, you're not. The one who is in you is sanctified. You see that? He is my righteousness. He is my sanctification. He is my redemption. Oh, yeah. The second thing I want you to notice in this living in sanctification is this. Notice that he is called the Lord of hosts. Verse 13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Now, this Lord of hosts, it's a title in Scripture which denotes military power. It is applied to legions of armies. Isaiah tells us here that our Lord God himself, the one that's in you, is the Lord of hosts. You know what he's saying? He's saying you've got angelic protection. he who is in you greater than he who is in the world, is the master of all angelic hosts. Do you realize that? At the snap of his fingers, they do his bidding. You going to be in trouble? Let me tell you something. The Wilsons last week, they went over that embankment off the highway, went into the Saco River. The ice was only 1 inch thick, but the truck didn't sink. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. And the fire rescue guy said, "This is a miracle. You should be on the bottom of the Saco River, drowned." But the angels of God held them up until the rescue people came and took them safely away. Why? Because he's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of hosts. That gives me great comfort. It takes away my fear. Thirdly, he says, concerning living in sanctification, and look at it, verse 13, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear. Did you know, beloved, that liberal churches, charismatics, New Agers will never talk about the fear of God? Oh, God is love. God is love. God is love. They always focus on the love of God, and they never speak of the reverse side, that God is also a God of wrath, and he is to be feared. I'm here to tell you tonight. People don't believe that. Christians don't believe that. But I believe it because the Bible says so. Look what it says. Let him be your fear. Now, he's not talking about walking around on eggshells and being afraid that God's going to smite you dead. He's not. He's saying respect him. It's like when you're a kid, you fear your father, you're giving you a spanking, right, if you do wrong. That's all it is. He's saying respect your heavenly father and let him be your dread. Now, I wonder if maybe the charismatics and these New Agers do not speak of the fear of God because they totally violate his word. Maybe that has something to do with it. Isaiah says, do not be alarmed at what man can do, but fear and honor God, who is with you and in you. You see that in verse 13? He says, don't fear man. Don't fear ISIS. Fear God. And God will take care of ISIS and all the rest of them. You fear God. Now look at it. The word, Hebrew word here in verse 13, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. And Peter adds, sanctify the Lord of hosts in your heart, by quoting this verse, verse 13. Peter says, where are you to do it? In your heart. Isaiah is speaking of heart work. You can't do it with your intellect. You can't go to Harvard University and get a BA and an MDA and all these different plaques on the wall. No, you need the plaque of God, the Holy Spirit. In your heart. That's where the sanctification takes place. In your heart. In your inner man. UPI, that's United Press International, reports that a woman was recently arrested in Stockholm, Sweden, for printing counterfeit bills on a copier machine at work she was using. Police says she was able to print 9,000 nearly flawless, perfect bills per minute. Because the Swedish $1,000 mark, that's worth $240 USA, was minted by the government entirely in black and white. They minted their bills in black and white in Sweden. So she easily copied them on a copy machine. And it worked! Listen to me. Those counterfeit bills that she made herself looked like the real bills. They felt like real bills. They even worked like real bills because some stores accepted them, not knowing the difference. I hope you're listening. Most people don't know the difference between the real, the genuine, and the counterfeits. That's why there's churches full tonight, all across the globe, with people who don't even know they're in a counterfeit religion. They don't know it, but it's not real. It's a sham. Now, folks, listen. Those bills weren't real. They were counterfeits. And I'm here to tell you tonight that there's so many counterfeits in this world, we need to be on guard. We need to be living a sanctified life to guard against it. Isaiah says, true godliness requires sanctification. That is the missing element in counterfeit religion, sanctification of the believer. They never talk about it because they live like they want to live. They don't live a holy life. That's counterfeit religion, folks. First mark right there. Secondly, though, tonight, concerning counterfeit religion being exposed is this. God says that you and I must avoid all contact with the counterfeits. Look with me at verse number 16. Isaiah 8, look at verse 16. Bind up the testimony. Seal the law. Now, time out, church. What is the testimony in the law referring to? The what? Word of God. That's Old Testament phrases for the Word of God. Among my disciples. He says, give it to my disciples. Seal it to them. Drop down to verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and wizards that peep and that mutter. Time out, church. Who is the they of verse 19? Think. What are we preaching about tonight? That's right, Miriam. It's the counterfeit practitioners of false religion. They're trying to get you to do something they do. We're going to see it here in a minute. It's counterfeit. Now, folks, listen very carefully. God is warning his people here through Isaiah's pen to be sure to avoid any and all contact with spiritual counterfeits. Beloved, how we need to take heed in our day especially to these divine instructions. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. A pastor's wife that I knew out in Colorado, he told me she started reading these books on Kabbalah. Okay? Yeah, yeah. I see our church secretary going, uh-oh. That's right. You got to be careful what you read, folks. You know me, I read more than that. I love reading the things of God, studying scripture and commentaries and Bible dictionaries, all kinds of stuff. But you got to be careful what you read. You know what she was doing? She was making contact with counterfeit religion. She didn't know it. But you know what happened to that gal? She came home one day and told the pastor, her husband, I'm becoming a follower of Kabbalah. He said, you're what? And he sat her down and tried to explain that it's a false religion, it's a cult, and you need to burn that book. I don't know whatever happened with that situation. I don't know. God only knows. But the problem is she didn't avoid the false religion. This is what we need to do, folks. When they come knocking on your door, hey, I'm a JW. Can I give you a Watchtower magazine for free? Nope. Slam that door. Hey, I'm a Mormon missionary. Can I give you a Book of Mormons? Nope. Slam that door. Don't take it. Don't have any contact. John said in John, the second epistle of John, neither bid them Godspeed. Don't have them in your house. They only want to deceive you into their false religion. Mark it down. Now let me observe two particulars here in identifying the problem. First, he identifies the first category of the theys of verse 19, of counterfeiters, as them that have familiar spirits. Look at it. Verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, who is the you of verse 19? Wouldn't that be a true believer? Yep. And this is what they say to you. Seek unto them that have familiar spirits. Somebody tell me, what are those? They're demons. Don't let anybody tell you those are holy spirits. There's only one, the Spirit of God. These spirits are demons. And somebody's telling somebody to make contact with them. Uh-oh. And unto wizards that peep. What's that mean? Something's coming out of their mouth. Follow me. And that mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God? Why would the living seek to the dead? Now, folks, listen carefully. The first category that Isaiah identifies of the false counterfeiters is those who have familiar spirits. Who are they? These are they who profess to be able to hold converse with the spirit world. And they do, most of them. Listen, this would include necromancers, conjurers, diviners. I saw you a serious message tonight. Mediums, psychics, fortune tellers, and all those who practice astral projection, commonly called outer body experience, etc., etc. They want you to do what they're doing. Join the New Age movement. Now, all of these that I just named are actually being used by demonic spirits to accomplish Satan's purposes, which is what? Begins with a D. He wants to deceive. And he's doing a good job of it. His spirits, hey, they're transformed into angels of light. Oh, come over here to our church and we'll show you how to levitate a cone. Oh, no. Folks, listen to me. I'm here to tell you tonight that it's in our churches. You know there are churches that have yoga? Yoga classes? Whoa. I'm telling you, folks, it's in the churches and we need to be on guard. Somebody tell me, what am I doing? What am I doing? Oh, there's someone out here tonight who has a pain in their back. Yeah, it's Lucas, right? Of course there's someone who has a pain in their back. These guys get on the television. I sense somebody's having heart trouble. Really? Oh, you are so spiritual, buddy. You're just a spiritual giant because you said that. Hold that thought, Lucas. You cannot be spiritual and be a psychic. Folks, I'm as your pastor tonight. I'm going to tell you the truth. These people are, I call them Christian psychics. Oh, let me read your fortune tonight. They want to read your mail, you know? It's unbelievable. It's in the churches. Secondly, listen, under this avoiding all contact with them, secondly, he identifies the second category of counterfeits as wizards that peep and mutter. What? What does that mean? Look at verse 19. Wizards that peep and mutter? I beg you to listen to me now, church, what I'm about to say. A wizard here literally means one who is possessed with a spirit of divination. One who is skilled in natural magic, black magic. One who operates in the supernatural. And there's all kinds of them out there. It's them who possess powers from the spirit world, not of God. From the powers of darkness. You better listen to me. Watch carefully how they display it. Verse 19. They peep and mutter. Something's coming out of their mouth. And they want you to do it. I'm not going to elaborate, but let me just say one thing. Speaking in tongues is not for you, church. Speaking in tongues was a sign gift for the first century AD because the gospel, Paul said, I speak in tongues more than ye all. Why? Why did Paul speak in tongues more than all of them? Because he was a missionary and he had to preach the gospel to people who didn't understand Paul's language, which was Hebrew. You see? Folks, listen to me. Something's coming out of their mouth and they want you to do it. That's all I'm going to say. Watch carefully how they display it. They peep. They make noises. They mutter. Something's coming out. Make a strange mystical language. This is a documented case from 1984 in South Bend, Indiana, where an Oriental woman from China was searching for truth concerning salvation from sin. She walked into a Pentecostal church while a woman was standing up and speaking in tongues. Suddenly, the visitor ran out of the church. The pastor quickly went out from the pulpit and ran out the front door to catch her. And he asked the poor woman what was wrong, to which she replied, "That woman in your church is speaking in my language, Chinese, and she's blaspheming Jesus Christ and his Father." He said, "What?" Actual case. Folks, sometimes they get caught. Now, listen, this stuff is in our churches, folks. Let me just make a statement. I'm not trying to be cruel, but not everything that seems spiritual is of God. You know, the devil can give you signs and wonders and miracles. Notice we don't seek after them in this church. Why? Because the devil can counterfeit. We're talking about counterfeit religion tonight. This is where a Bible-believing Baptist church is. That's why we are a Bible-believing Baptist church. And speaking of tongues in tongues, I may say, is not allowed in this church. Folks, I'm sorry. If that's something you want to do, I can recommend a good Pentecostal church to you. But we don't allow that here because it's unbiblical. It's unbiblical. But something else quickly concerning counterfeit religion. Listen, God says, thirdly, that you and I must seek after him. And him alone. Look with me again at verse 19. Verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, notice how God divides people.
between true believers and unbelievers. It's all through the Bible, folks. There's only two camps. When they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, capital G, for the living to the dead? Now, folks, listen very carefully here. God is speaking not to the lost, but to people who claim to know him. And those who profess to belong to God, those who profess faith in his Son, verse 19, he says to them, don't go after them. Don't hearken unto them. Why? They're counterfeit. It's not. They might give you goosebumps and tingly sensations, but it's not of God. They're not true believers. Listen to me, church. We are not to seek after signs and wonders and miracles. That's because the devil himself, the Bible teaches, can perform them. Why would you take a chance on being deceived? I'm not going to. The just shall live by faith. Whatever happened to living by faith? Believing the Bible? Well, we want signs. You know what the Jews' problem was? They always wanted a sign. Jesus said, you always want a sign, and there shall no sign be given you but the sign of Jonah, who was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He said, I'm going to come up like Jonah came up. That's your sign. You want a sign? How about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? There's a sign for you. That's the sign that Jesus pointed to when they asked for a sign. The just shall live by faith, not by sight, not by feeling, not by emotion, not by tongues. We must live content in seeking God and spiritual knowledge in the ways that our God has prescribed for us to. Did you hear what I said? You need to accept the ways that God has ordained for you to seek him. Not any old way you feel like. This is the problem with people in the world today, folks. They think that they can seek God through Buddha, through Muhammad, through any Eastern mysticism, any way they feel like it. And you can't. The Bible says you can't. You can't do it. Look at the end of the verse 19. For the living to the dead. He said that would be like those who are spiritually alive going to those who are spiritually dead for spiritual help? I don't think so. They're only going to corrupt you. Now listen, folks. Watch what he says in verse 19 at the end. For the living to the dead. Notice this. Someone is living spiritually and someone is dead spiritually. They're not to be intermingled. That's foolishness and nonsense. Look at verse 15 for a moment. Verse 15 before we move on. And many among them, he has the separation again. Who is the them and the many? The counterfeit religionists. Many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. They're in bondage in verse 15, and they don't even know it. Those who practice false religion, the cults and the occult and the New Age movement, are in bondage to demon spirits, and they don't know it. I'm thinking of a gal that I love. She's a family member, and she's heavily involved in the New Age movement. She doesn't know that what she's doing is so dangerous. Many, those who seek after signs and wonders. Are you sitting down? From the AP, Associated Press. AP reports, recent investigations have revealed that on America's college campuses, taken from a survey of over 900 universities in America, that on average, the Satanic Bible, written by Anton LaVey in 1969, now outsells the Holy Bible by 112-1. The survey says you can now walk into any college campus bookstore in America and purchase the Satanic Bible in the religious section. We're talking about counterfeit religion. There's one of them. Worship the devil, right? Wrong. Listen, folks. I say unto you, brethren, that this new generation is about to turn America into a pagan nation. I fear for our nation. This new generation scares me. I don't know about you, but they want pagan practices in America. They don't want the Bible. They don't want the gospel. They don't want the Son of God. They want witchcraft, and they want the New Age movement. They want all this wickedness, and yes, Satanism. I'll say it. Why? It's because they're seeking after the God of this world. not after the God of this Bible. We must seek after Him and Him alone, Isaiah says, number three. But fourthly, I see something else concerning counterfeit religion being exposed, and that is this. Fourthly, God says that you and I must stand upon His word, no matter what. Look at verse 16 again. Verse 16, bind up the what? Testimony. And seal the law amongst my disciples. Drop down to verse 20. To the law and to the testimony. Wow. You know what he does here? In verse 16 and verse 20, Isaiah points them to the answer for avoiding counterfeit religion, the word of God. You can't be deceived when your nose is buried in this book and the Holy Spirit is anointing you and revealing the truth of it to you. You can't be deceived. Why? Because he's the spirit of truth, not of error. That's another spirit. Now listen closely, folks. God says to the divinely inspired revelation that he has given, the true believer must take his or her stand and determine that anything in this world that goes contrary to this Bible is wrong and God's word is right. Amen? Folks, you got to make that stand. Because when they come knocking on your door and they call you and they invite you over to their little meeting, you need to know how to answer from the Bible. Amen? So important. Being in this book will equip you to overcome them. That means that whenever these counterfeit believers tell you that it's okay to do this or do that, that the other thing, that we say, okay, but let's see what the Bible says about that first. Always see what the Bible says first. I told this pastor's wife, I'm for tongues, absolutely. I'm absolutely for speaking in tongues, but not in this dispensation. Rightly divided at the right time, which was 2,000 years ago, I would have spoken in tongues. Now they're laughing. She told me that the Spirit of Christ is not the Holy Spirit. The one speaking in tongues, telling me to speak in tongues, she told me the Spirit of Christ in Romans 8 is not the Holy Spirit. She said that's another spirit that enables you to speak in tongues. I said, that verse, you didn't finish the verse. It says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he or she is none of his. You don't know God. She didn't know God. Imagine blaspheming the Holy Spirit like that. The Spirit of Christ is not the Holy Spirit. Wow. We must base everything we do, everything we desire, everything we allow in our lives upon the Holy Scriptures alone. Bottom line, because this holy book will never lead us to do something that is contrary to the will of our Heavenly Father. It will always tell you to do right, what is pleasing in your Father's sight. Now, what most Christians do is this. Whatever in the Bible that happens to fit their lifestyle and their theology, they accept. And the rest, they spiritually, not physically, hopefully, spiritually they cut the rest out because they never preach on it, they never refer to it, they never quote it. You know what that is? That's cutting verses out of the Bible spiritually. Oh, I just ignore, I don't like that part, so I ignore it. No, it's all for you. You just have to rightly divide it. I recently counseled with a Christian woman who reads Playgirl magazine. Playgirl magazine, everybody's saying, what is that? I didn't know myself. It's the pornographic opposite of Playboy magazine. It's for women and it has naked men. A naked centerfold of a man with no clothes on. It's pornography for women. And she told me, I read that. And I said, why? She said, well, I'm under grace. Folks, I'm telling you, we got a mess in our churches tonight. People need to wake up and turn from their sin. Playgirl. All right, we've seen that God says that we must be living in sanctification. We must be avoiding any contact with counterfeits. We must be seeking after Him and Him alone. We must be standing upon His holy word. But fifthly and finally, God says that you and I must make judgments according to His word. We must make judgments every day according to His word. Look at verse 20 again. Verse 20 says, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. What? Did you hear what Isaiah just said in verse number 20? He didn't say there's little light in them. He said there's none. I hope somebody's receiving what Isaiah is actually saying here in verse 20. Because the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, Isaiah, tells us here that you and I must make judgments according to what? Look at it. He says in the verse, the law and the testimony, the word of God. You need to judge everything in your life. Oh, how many times have you heard it? Oh, judge not that you be not judged. Yeah, that's a Sermon on the Mount, kingdom law. It's not in effect yet. It's coming during the millennium. But right now, you're to judge everything, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. Judge all things according to the truth, the word of God. Now, listen carefully. What does this mean to make judgments according to the word? How many times have you heard this from a Christian? Oh, you shouldn't judge. That's not what God says in the Bible. God says, he that is spiritual, what's the next word? Judgeth. How many things? All things. Next time they quote that verse to you, quote this verse to them. He that is spiritual, she that is spiritual, judgeth all things according to God's word. All right? Now, by this standard, okay, the word of God, all pretended revelation and spiritual experiences are to be tried and tested. John, in 1 John chapter 5, down around verse 3, he said, try the spirits, whether they be of God or not. One sure mark of all these counterfeit religions I'm speaking about tonight is that all of them, categorically, together, unified, they deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They say, oh, he's a good man. He's a good teacher. He's a good rabbi. But he's not God. Folks, I'm here to tell you tonight that the Bible says he is. We need to judge that according to the Bible. Listen now. If those who attempt to entice you into delving into some strange practice that goes against what God says in his word, then we are to make the following judgment or evaluation concerning them. Verse 20. To the law and to the testimony. If you speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in you. You see that? That's the judgment we're to make on them. They're trying to get you to go against the law of God. That is wickedness. Like passing laws that you can legally murder unborn babies. That's evil. Passing laws that, you know, well, yeah, he raped a child, but he's not all that bad. Let's just give him 2 years, right? How about the judge in Vermont that gave him zero jail time? Let him go after raping an 11-year-old girl. Don't let me get hold of that fella. Oh, my goodness. Make your blood boil. They're not judging righteously. You see? Why? Verse 20. To the law. To the testimony. Bible says that fella should be stoned to death. Okay? I know that's a different dispensation, but he still should be. Now look at what God says concerning their ultimate destination. Don't miss this, verse 21. And they, there's the they again, shall pass through it, the world, hardly bestead and hungry. They spiritually starve. See that? And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God. Hey, folks, I don't want to get into that, but a lot of people cursing the king today. And look upward, and they shall look unto the earth. See, they're looking for help, but it's too late. And behold, trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Folks, I do not enjoy preaching this message tonight, because all these masses of people who are deceived by false counterfeit religion are going into a place of darkness forever. That's what he says at the end of our text in verse 22. How sad is this? Six words from verse 22. They shall be driven to darkness. You know what that is? That's gross darkness in a place called hell. Why? Oh, why is this true? It's because they had counterfeit religion. They weren't saved. Beloved, let me give you this in closing. One time, there was a train full of passengers. They were on their way to Brussels. After departing from the depot, the conductor stopped the train immediately after just half a mile. He stood and exclaimed, "Everyone, please get off the train immediately. You're all on the wrong train." The passengers, confused and aggravated, slowly unboarded the train. But the conductor was completely correct in his accusation. It turns out that he had forgotten to change his sign from Brussels to Zurich, where he was actually going. This was his assigned destination, Zurich. But listen, he was making a judgment. He said, "You're all on the wrong train." And they're like, "No, we're not." Isn't that how it is, folks? When counterfeit religionists, we tell them you're on the wrong road. No, we're not. We're just fine. We're going to Brussels. And he said, "This train's not going to Brussels. This train's going to hell. You better get off that train of false religion and do it quick." Oh, beloved, in closing, let me give you this and I'll be done. Listen very carefully now. We've seen from Isaiah chapter 8 tonight, counterfeit religion exposed. And I want to tell you a real sad story in closing concerning a dear, dear friend of ours, my wife and mine, who lives in Connecticut. Her name is Rita, a devoted Christian. She's been the closest of friends with Miriam since Miriam was 13 years old. That's 45 years. Listen, Rita has been faithfully serving God for over 40 years now. She has just one child, a 19-year-old daughter. The girl showed signs of rebellion since the age of 12. Nobody knows who this is, so I can tell you. She started hanging out with kids who were not from Christian homes. She was led down a dark path of drug addiction, alcohol abuse, and sexual deviation. She met some people about 2 years ago, who convinced her to come to their activities involving the occult. She went, and today, this girl is a practicing witch, deeply entangled in a Wicca coven. Her mother, Rita, still prays for her every night for her deliverance and salvation, but to this day, she is not allowed to speak about God or the Bible to her. Why? Why am I telling you this story? It's because Satan got hold of that girl and trapped her in counterfeit religion, and she believes it. How sad. Folks, that's just one example of millions upon millions of people who are deceived by false counterfeit religion and the occult. Beloved, my message tonight is counterfeit religion exposed. Father, how we thank you tonight for the true Christianity of the Bible, the one that leads to heaven because it leads to Jesus Christ alone. Lord, I'm so grateful tonight for the truth of your word. I'm so grateful tonight we're not deceived by false religion. Oh yeah, I was. 28 years of my life, I was deceived by false religion. But I got saved. And for the last 30 years of my life, I've been living in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the hope of glory, in the truth of the Bible. Thank you for that tonight, Lord. We count our salvation as our dearest possession in this life. There is nothing more important. There is nothing greater. There is nothing else to seek but the truth. The truth. The truth which is Jesus Christ. We thank you for it tonight. Lord, I pray as a result of tonight's message, many who are ensnared by demonic practices, occultic, new age practices, false religion, counterfeits, would come out, would repent. Listen, Lord, I had to repent of that religion I was involved in for 27 years. I had to repent of it and come to Jesus Christ, and you saved me from it. They have to repent from their counterfeits and come to the real Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray many will tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals. We'll close tonight with a hymn of the faith. Amazing. As I was preaching, another offering appeared in the plate. folks, let's open our hymnals tonight to the incredible hymn number 66. Hymn 66, another great Isaac Watts hymn. And we're going to sing all four. When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Yeah.
Tonight, folks. Oh, the words of that last stanza. That says it all. Amen. Brother Lucas dismisses in prayer Wednesday night at 7 if you can.
I have a request as well.
Sir?
Somebody I went to high school with at Calvary, he still goes to church there. I just found out from somebody else who goes there who he's been using, if you know what I mean.
Oh, wow.
His name is Josh. He actually hasn't even been going to services there lately.
Let's pray for Josh for deliverance from that the drugs. Oh, very important. Okay, brother.
Heavenly Father, thanks for tonight. Thanks for letting me come out here. And thanks for the message. And please let everybody go home safely.
Mm-hmm.
And that people will repent of this new age stuff. And that even though there's a lot of it going on in Pentecostal churches, that other Christians will know that there are Pentecostals that are part of the body as well. In your name, amen.
Mm-hmm.